The great author and Methodist minister Roy L. Smith once said this: "He who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree." So on this beautiful Christmas Eve, I think I speak for many of us in saying that Christmas time, it's as if there's a magic wand that's waved all over the world and everything is softer and more beautiful. I'm sure your to-do lists are now firmly in place later tonight and tomorrow. And I hope the peace and love of Christmas is celebrated amidst your friends, relatives, food, cards, wrapping cards, again, gifts. Gifts. On a night where we may be thinking we're all excited to give and receive, I want to share something of the greatest gift of all. It's one that's already been given. It didn't come beautifully wrapped in a box or topped with an exquisite bow, nor did it come in a shiny gift bag topped with matching tissue paper, and nor was it placed in a stocking hung on a mantle. The greatest gift of all is not just for men, for women, for boys, for girls. It's not just for the rich or the poor or the powerful or the weak or the healthy or the ill. It's not an online or man-made thing, but it is one of a kind. The greatest gift that was ever given came wrapped in swaddling clothes and was placed in a manger on that first Christmas, just like the video said. And the greatest gift is not just one for one group, one gender, one age, but it reaches across all boundaries and has been sent to the world of mankind. Although a gift of this size and yet one so simple is hard to get our heads around, it took place more than 2,000 years ago, and in all its love, there were two special happenings: a birth and an announcement. So the birth. So notice how simply in the Gospel Luke tells of the arrival. In verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. In verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, some said cloths, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So we normally want to know a lot about a birth, and certainly more than that, don't we? I mean, because come on, Luke, we want to know when her waters broke. We want to know how long she was in labor. Who attended the birth? Did he breathe straight away? Did he feed okay? How much did he weigh and how much hair did he have? But we're told none of that, because that's not where the emphasis lies. This was no ordinary birth. The focus is not on the sentimental things to which we attach significance. We've complicated the story with loads of cultural baggage over the years. But here is the simple reality: that when God stepped into the world, he didn't come to a princess in a palace or even a high priest in the temple, but to a lowly young girl with a food trough for a bed. And God's humility and grace and mercy is there for all to see right from the beginning. So let's look secondly at the announcement. So nowadays, most people announce things about births on social media. But this announcement, it was like no other. So again, in a few words, Luke tells us the facts. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. So no offense to any people who have sheep on their farms today, but these were really dirty, smelly shepherds. They were isolated socially and religiously, and they were kind of the bottom of the social scale. And yet, God blesses these night shift farmers with the best news the world would ever hear. You'll remember how the announcement goes. Good news, a savior, the Messiah, the Lord. the man who will change the calendar and the world forever. In fulfillment of God's promises, out of so much love for the world, that whoever believes in him will never die but have eternal life. But I want to ask you about the one aspect of that announcement, peace on earth. Where is peace on earth? Whatever happened to that? If that was the message, then we'd probably have to say that Christianity was a downright failure, because 2,000 years after the message was announced, there's war and strife all the time, globally and locally. There is no peace. And maybe this is the surprise, but peace, in the sense of there being no war or violence, is not the peace the angels meant. Nor did they mean some dimension of personal tranquility whereby people are removed or protected from life's disappointments and shocks and tragedies. Again, if they'd meant that, it hasn't worked. Because we experience fear, we've experienced disappointment, we experience pain and illness and anxiety or disorders, and it all seems to be happening in increasing measure. So how do we make the sense of what peace on earth is all about, of this line, peace on earth? Just a bit earlier again in Luke's gospel, we read of a peace that comes through the forgiveness of sins. This is the peace of which the angels sing. It's not a general peace in the world at large they're singing about. It's peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. That's the peace this little baby born in Bethlehem will bring. So let's get this right. Peace with God doesn't exist naturally. And think about this, there's hostility between the creator and the creature, entirely of the creature's making, that we, the creatures, cannot fix. But there is a beautiful solution. Christ's mission was to establish this peace. So let me ask you, do you know this peace? Do you have that peace? You might say, I'm doing my best, but that's not what I asked. I asked whether you have this peace. Because no matter what the tragedy, the guilt, the blame, the circumstances, the absolute peace that floods your heart when you have this assurance, I hope you have that peace this Christmas. And how can you know it? Just let him in. So with that peace comes another wonderful thing. At Sunday school many years ago, I remember learning of the first promise made of heaven to the human family. The gift of good tidings and great joy. Joy was the first promise to come from heaven through the angels. Some of you may remember joy as being J, Jesus. O, others, come second. And Y, you, come last. You see, joy is really an amazing collection of priorities. If you get your priorities straight, you'll live an amazing life. There's going to be times when it's going to be tested and you'll keep coming back to the same word, and there will be spiritual strength that will carry you through if there's in a way that you have never imagined. Because the secret of joy is really very simple. Get your priorities straight and get your ethics right. Whether a child, a teen, adult, whether you're single, married, you can even apply it to your business. The same goes. Get your spiritual life straight first. So J, Jesus. Because every human being, whether you're an atheist or a spiritual person, you have a spiritual nature. You cannot eradicate it or limit it. Just get your spiritual life straight. And I can't think of a better way of doing that than finding it through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who we believe was the Son of God. And that means you'll have your ethics in good line, and that means your honesty and integrity will also come forth. But if you don't start there, that's where you get into trouble. Once you have a spiritual foundation, you're ready for the O. That's the second priority, others. Others come second. Others before yourself. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a problem and solve it. Our job in this life is love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. People just want to be respected. Others come second. And the why is for you. You come last. We come last. But guess what? It's okay, because sometimes it's okay to be what people would call selfish. It's a bit shocking, isn't it? It's not a sin to be concerned or to take care of yourself. It's just a sin when you come first, others come second, and God doesn't even really rate a mention. God first, others second, yourself last. Now, there are some people who are selfless to a fault. You have to be last, but don't cut yourself out of your own generosity, because you are a wonderful person and you do deserve a good Christmas. The greatest gift you can give yourself tonight is planting that seed of ultimate joy in your life. Because remember, joy is not pleasure. Pleasure comes from material means. It's the joy that comes from inner spiritual feeling of your relationship with God. Get your spiritual life on a solid basis, and you cannot do that other than by turning to Him. There's never been another person who came to planet Earth with the announcement he's giving great joy, because with that also comes a wonderful salvation. I have joy in my life at the deepest level because I know there's a heaven, an eternity. And I don't really know what it is or where it is, but I know how to get there. And if you know the right person and love him, you'll get there. His name is Jesus, and whatever heaven is, wherever it is, you can be sure of one thing. He's there. So become a friend of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. It's quite simple. Then come to church, maybe even this one, every Sunday. And keep your priorities straight. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been given to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favour rests. Peace and joy to you all. Amen.